3 John, John's third epistle. You'll find that between 2 John and Jude, second to last book of the Bible. This is a short letter by the Apostle John to the church. And it's one of those books that we don't consider too often. It's a short little letter. It has a lot to say, and it gives us an interesting insight to the church and to the gospel of John and to his care for the church. And so we'll read together 3 John and this letter that he has given to his friend. So hear now the very word of our God from 3 John. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him. And you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he bless it to us. It's an interesting letter we have here from John to a friend in the church. It's interesting because in the other letters of John, he doesn't mention people by name. He tends to write more generally and more broadly to the church. And in this letter, he's very clearly writing to a friend. Writing to a friend to thank him for what he's done and to illustrate a problem that the church is having. A particular problem with this man, Diotrephes, who is unwilling to accept the emissaries that John is sending to the church. I think this is a helpful reminder for us because sometimes we can begin to think of the apostolic church as the golden age, that when the apostles were around, the church had no problems, and it's only in these later days that problems have developed, and that clearly is not the case. John is writing about difficulties the church was having even back during his time and problems that were going on and how to deal with those problems. And one of the wonderful things about the apostle John is that he keeps things very simple. When we were in seminary, the first things you translate from the Greek is John, because he's very simple. And you begin to be very thankful for John, especially when you start getting into Paul's Greek, which is a lot more difficult. But John has a wonderful way of presenting things in a very simple manner. And in this particular letter, he's talking about how does the church properly become fellow workers for the truth? What do we do to be fellow workers, the kind of workers that help the church and not inhibit the church? And I think he has really three simple things that he wants to remind us of that come out in this passage that are how the church ought to behave. How do you become a fellow worker for the truth? Well, I think we see from this letter the three things John points to is that you must walk in the truth, that you must reject what is evil, and that you must imitate what is good. Those are the things that John points out in this letter. And he starts out by illustrating that first point, what it is to walk in the truth, by sharing with us a little bit about this man, Gaius, to to whom he's writing. We know that he is a friend of John, and John is happy because he has heard a good report. He's heard that Gaius continues to walk in the truth. If we look at verse 3, we see the apostle saying, "It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth." And if we want to talk about walking in the truth, the first thing we have to acknowledge is that Gaius walked in the truth because he was faithful to the truth. It's pointless to talk about walking in the truth unless you understand the truth, unless you have been changed by the truth. And one of the things that the Apostle John so simply puts together is the fact that if you know the truth, if you've been convinced by the truth, then you will walk in the truth. For the Apostle John, those two things naturally follow. If you understand the truth, if you believe the truth as it's been presented, then you will walk in the truth. Those things he ties together very closely. And so we have to say at the outset, if you don't understand the truth, if you have not believed in the truth, then you cannot walk in it. And when John says the truth, what he's really saying is the summary of Christian doctrine. What do we believe? He's using that little phrase, the truth, to summarize the gospel of Jesus Christ, to say that this is the faith. This is the faith that has been delivered to the church, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation that's in his name, the good news, and then the responsibility of Christians to show forth their gratitude by walking in the truth, by adhering to the doctrine that's been taught, and by showing it forth in their lives. And John says, I'm happy to hear that you walk in the truth. That not only are you faithful to the commands of Jesus Christ, not only are you holding to the truth and being faithful to the truth, but you're walking in it. You're showing evidence of it. It's coming out in your life. And we see that the way it's expressing itself in Gaius's life is that he shows hospitality to those who come to the church. That's what John is particularly happy for, that he has gained a good reputation among the brothers in verse 3. And as he goes on in verse 6 and 7, we say, they have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. See what John is pointing to in the fact that there are emissaries that are continually going out from the apostles and from different teachers to proclaim the word of Jesus Christ. And they depend on people to show them hospitality. They depend on people to house them and to put them up. And John is rejoicing when he says they have received nothing from the pagans. It means that they've received everything they've needed from the household of God. They haven't had to have their needs supplied by outsiders, by other people. That the church has been faithful in supplying what they need, and that Gaius has been instrumental in this, showing hospitality to those who come. We see in verse 5, he says, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. Now, some versions split these into two separate things. He's faithful to the brothers, and he's faithful to the strangers. Some, like the NIV that I'm reading from, they combine them, faithful to the brothers, even though they were strangers. And you see that however you want to read that, however you want to see that, the point is he's faithful both to those who are inside the church and to those who are strangers to him. That he shows that hospitality inside and outside, whether he knows them or whether they are strangers to him. He shows this hospitality. He shows forth this love to the fellow brothers who are coming sent by John. And John is very happy for this. He's happy for that love. He says to Gaius, you're gaining a reputation in the church for your love, for your faithfulness, for your walking in the truth. And I think that's so important to understand that he is walking in the truth, he is showing hospitality, and that it is gaining for him a reputation in the church, but that's not why he's doing these things, but John is saying that's been the result. The people who stay with you come away testifying to your hospitality, testifying to your goodness, testifying to your love for the saints and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's so important because as I read and studied this and thought about it, I thought, I wonder if Gaius thought his service was very big for the church. I wonder if he thought of his service as being a great service to the church. All he was doing maybe in his own mind was taking in people that the apostles were sending to him and putting them up in a house. and feeding them. And maybe he was tempted to think during those times, you know, these guys are doing a great work for the kingdom of God. They are bearing the gospel testimony from the apostles to the church and going out and spreading this word. And really all I'm doing is showing hospitality. And I think one of the wonderful things we see John saying to Gaius is that even in small acts of service to the Lord, you participate in that greater work of his kingdom. Because as we see him saying in verse 8, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. And I think that's so important for us because sometimes I think we don't feel like we're doing big things for the kingdom of God. We want to serve him. We want to serve him in the ways that he has gifted us to serve him. But sometimes they feel pretty small. They seem to pale in comparison to the acts of service other people are offering. Maybe you think of missionaries that are in dangerous places where it's dangerous for them even to be there testifying to the Lord's name. Or you read stories of martyrs who bravely went to their death for the name of Jesus Christ. And you think, you know, those were big acts of service to God's kingdom. And what can I do in my own small particular way? It might feel that what I do is very small compared to the great works that other people do for the kingdom of God. And so it's wonderful that the Apostle John can come to this man and say, you know, your hospitality has made you a co-worker with that great work. That there are no small tasks in the kingdom of God. That we all are working together for that common purpose. And that even in this hospitality, which you may think is a small thing, the apostle can say, it's brought joy to my heart. I rejoice to hear about it. You've gained for yourself a reputation in the church for love and compassion, for hospitality. And this likely would not make Gaius's work easier. The more hospitality he showed, the more love he showed, probably had more people showing up on his doorstep because he was gaining a reputation. It probably made things more busy at his household rather than less. But John said, you know, in these small ways, you are participating with that great work of the kingdom. We are fellow workers, we who walk in the truth. And it's so important because we need to recognize that even our small services for the Lord's kingdom, even though things we think of in our own eyes as small, make us participate in that great work, that great kingdom work, to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to let the light shine into dark places, and to recognize that those who walk in the truth, even in the small things, participate in that great work. So John says, if you want to be a fellow worker, you walk in the truth. You do those things that the Lord has blessed you to do, and that will gain for you a reputation in his eyes, in the eyes of his church, even if in your eyes they might seem small. And John says, in that way, Gaius has gained a name for himself. But of course, in this letter, he's not the only person who's gained a name for himself, a reputation among the church. So we're told in the first place, if you want to be a fellow worker, you have to walk in the truth, but we're told in the second place, you have to reject what is evil. Because John goes on to say there's another person who has a reputation in this letter. And it's not the kind of reputation you want. It's Diotrephes, who many commentators describe as the first pope because he likes to put himself first. He loves to have preeminence. And he begins to rule the church with an iron fist. See how he's described by the apostle in verses 9 and following. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Now, again, we can be tempted to think this was the golden age of the church. But we see here, this is a man who is unwilling to accept the Apostle John, unwilling to accept his letters, unwilling to accept his emissaries. In fact, not only is he unwilling to accept them, but he refuses to allow other people in the church to accept them. And if you do accept them, if you do welcome them into your home, he excommunicates you out of the church. He loves to be first. And so it's interesting to see that this man is gossiping maliciously, we're told, against the apostle whom Jesus loved. You know, if the church can't love those who Jesus loved, what hope does it have? And so John is going on to say, you know what's important is to reject what is evil. Because this man loves to be first. And he gossips maliciously about them. That sort of has a sense of talking nonsense with malice. He's ignorant and he's hateful. And that's how he talks about the Apostle John. And the Apostle John says, I'm going to come and sort this out. I'm going to come and have something to say about this man and what he's been saying about us. But it's interesting that right after he describes this man and his characteristics of loving to be first, of refusing to receive the apostles and their people, and putting out of the church anyone who will receive them, he comes with this exhortation to avoid what is evil and to do what is good. He says in verse 11, "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." And so, almost right away after describing this man, he says, don't imitate this. This is to be rejected. And what is it about him that's to be rejected? Well, in the first place, he loves to put himself first. He loves to put himself first. That's always a problem in the church. There's only one person who is first in the church, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no head of the church but him. And those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ desire to promote him as the head of the church. And the apostle says that is not what this person does. He puts himself first. He says another problem with him is he's ignorant and malicious. He not only doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's hateful in the way he talks about people. You see, that too is to be gotten rid of in the church. That's why oftentimes you hear pastors talk about gossiping. Gossip is bad enough. Sometimes we say things or repeat things that we hear thinking that they're true, not meaning to pass on bad things. But this is an even worse situation in this church. This is actually malicious. It's not only ignorant, but it's an attempt to, with malice, attack people. Attack the Apostle John, of all people. You see, that's how putting yourself first can begin to twist your perception of things. That this man can go so far as to think that he's the only thing the church needs, and they don't even need things that are coming from the apostle that Jesus loved, who has a heart for the church and to see people walking in the light. And not only that he begins to put people out of the church if they're willing to receive the apostle's word. And I think really all of these things follow from putting yourself first, of not recognizing your true position before the Lord and wanting to exalt yourself. Because the more you try to exalt yourself, the more you necessarily have to put other people down. The Apostle John is saying, this is to be rejected. This is not to be imitated, because people who behave this way have not seen God. He said that really is the tragedy about this man who puts himself first, is he's demonstrating by his conduct that he has not seen God. His eyes have not been opened to the faith of Jesus Christ. And although he's in the church, he's participating with the church, he's going through the motions, he has not really seen God. They said this kind of stuff is to be rejected. And then, as the apostles often do, they say, they don't just leave us with what is to be rejected, they tell us what is to be imitated. He says, imitate what is good. And it's interesting because we learn something new about Gaius, don't we? The Apostle John is confident to write to him, even though other letters have been refused by Diotrephes. He's confident to write to Gaius, knowing that Gaius will pass these things on to the church. Then we also have reference to this man Demetrius. Likely Demetrius was the one who brought the letter to Gaius. There wasn't a good postal system back then. If you wanted to make sure a letter got delivered, you handed it to a messenger who took it all the way. And usually in the letter recommended the messenger so that you knew that he came with the recommendation from the apostle. So the apostle is giving this letter to Demetrius and saying, go find Gaius because he will receive this even though the church won't. And that lets us learn something about Gaius, doesn't it? Because we've been told that people who receive emissaries from the gospel, from John, have been put out of the church, have been excommunicated. And apparently Gaius is willing to risk that to receive John's letter. He's willing to receive John's emissary. He's willing to receive John's letter, even at the threat of being put out of the church by Diotrephes. You see, he's not concerned with his own sake, his own self. He's concerned with the church. He doesn't put himself first. He puts the church first, regardless of the consequences to him. That tells us something about what it is to imitate what is good. And it's interesting that when John says, what is it to imitate what is good? He said, avoid evil because those who do those things have not seen God. We would almost expect him to say, imitate good because those who imitate good have seen God. We would almost expect that to be the corollary statement. But that's not what he says. He says, anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. But what is the difference? He's saying if you've seen God, you are of God or from God. You belong to the Lord. You are naturally of his family. And you see, because for John to have seen God, it means you've seen Christ with the eyes of faith. You've seen Christ with the eyes of faith, and because you've seen Christ with the eyes of faith, you have been incorporated into his family. He says, those who walk in what is good, those who have seen God, those who have seen Christ are of God, are from God. They belong to God. It's a way of saying you are partners. You are family with the Lord. And that is really what he's bringing focus to by saying imitate what is good. He's not merely saying imitate good people like Gaius, imitate good people like Demetrius, who has a good report from everyone. He's saying, you need to imitate Christ. Because these men who are good examples that John is giving us are all people who have seen Christ with the eyes of faith and have followed his example in what they're doing. Gaius in showing hospitality and putting the church first, and being willing to risk his own position for the sake of the gospel and those who serve it. Demetrius, who has a good report from the apostles, from everyone. And we're told even by the truth itself, that can be translated by the truth himself, and is often in ancient times used as a way of saying someone who saw Jesus Christ in person. People were often, in this time, there were still people who had seen Jesus Christ, who had heard him and heard his teaching, and oftentimes Christians sought out those people and wanted to know, not surprisingly, what was he like? What was it like to hear him, knowing who he is? What was it like? And that was oftentimes the way those people were described, those people who had seen the truth himself. And that's likely what John is saying here. This is a man not only who was recommended to you by everyone, not only who was recommended to you by us, but who saw the truth himself and is recommended by him. And you see, these people are to be followed because they exhibit those characteristics of our Lord. They are not examples in and of themselves, but they are those who have seen the Lord Jesus Christ with the eyes of faith and are behaving as he behaved. Because he didn't seek to put himself first. He was willing to leave his position of glory and humble himself. Humble himself to the point of death on a cross. And he was willing to do that for the sake of others, not putting himself first. You see, that is a characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men are showing that they belong to Christ by following his example. And that's ultimately what we are to do in our lives. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have been saved by his work, then we are to walk by his example out of gratitude for what he's done. Not to try to earn something, because we know we can't humble ourselves like he humbled himself. We can't work as he worked. He rejected the evil like no one has ever rejected the evil. And he is the embodiment of good. He is the gold standard. He is the measure by which all good is judged. You can't walk as he walked exactly. You can't replace his work, but you can follow his example by the power of his Spirit, which he's given. And he says, if you do that, if you walk in the truth, if you reject what is evil, if you imitate what is good, then you are a fellow worker of my kingdom. You are a participant in that great work that I did. Because you demonstrate by what you've done that you are from God, as I was from God. That you belong to the family of God. You are, properly speaking, a child of God, a brother or sister of Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing we're told in Hebrews is he's not ashamed to call you brother. He's not ashamed to call you sister. And that by serving him, by being fellow workers for the truth, we participate in that great work of the kingdom. That when we are brought to face our Lord in that final judgment, the word will be, well done, good and faithful servant. For the sake of Christ, what a glorious thing we have to be thankful for. That Christ, by his work, has made us a participant. Might he continue to empower us by his Spirit to make us fellow workers in his kingdom. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the words of the Apostle John. We thank you for his love for the church. We thank you for these examples you have set before us in Scripture to be guides for us, to show hospitality to those who are around us, to seek to be given a good report by the church, to build a reputation for serving you. And Lord, help us to remind us, even in those small ways of service, even when we can feel that we are not big participants in the kingdom of God, to be reminded that small service to you is great in your sight, that we participate with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are part of that kingdom, that we are fellow workers with him. We thank you for that renewing work he continues to do in us. We pray that you might continue to send your Holy Spirit to us in power to make us flee from what is evil, turn to what is good, and that when we walk in the ways which are pleasing to you, when we walk in the truth, and we imitate what is good, it might be a powerful reminder to us that we are only able to do that because we are from you, by the work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. We thank you for his Spirit. We pray that you would continue to empower us by him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In response to